Now, the U.S. Senate passed a budget blueprint last night that is seen as a crucial step toward achieving the White House's goal of a tax code overhaul. Key elements include tax cuts, changes to so-called entitlement programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and an increase in defense spending.
The blueprint came in the form of a resolution, which affects the way it could pass through Congress and how quickly it could make it to the president's desk.
Today, House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin had this to say about the Senate's vote, talking on Good Morning America.
That gets us basically on track for being able to do what we call reconciliation, which is our ability to actually pass tax reform. So our plans are in place, the train's in the tracks, and we're rolling down the track. And the whole point of getting tax reform done, increase people's paychecks, higher wages, faster economic growth, which gets us a healthier economy and more jobs. And so that's what we're excited about, and we're really, really pleased the Senate did their heavy lifting.
Stephen Smith is a professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be with you.
So the Senate passed this budget blueprint. What does that mean exactly?
Well, the Congress has a budget process. It's been in place since 1974. It requires that if you're going to use a reconciliation bill, you have to authorize its use in advance with a budget resolution. So that's what they passed yesterday. The House has a different version, so the House will have to take up the Senate version. Word is that the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the House Speaker Paul Ryan have come close to agreeing on a compromise so that they can act quickly on this budget resolution, which sets up a reconciliation bill, which is a bill that cannot be filibustered in the Senate and would be the vehicle for the tax cuts.
Is there a thought that there might be political opposition from Republicans in the House to some of what the Senate has passed now?
Yes, but Speaker Ryan and Majority Leader McConnell seem to have come up with language that will satisfy, I think, most Republicans. The biggest sticking point for House conservatives, the most conservative Republicans, was that they wanted assurance that there would be deep domestic spending cuts. In fact, the House version provided for $203 billion of cuts over 10 years, which is a pretty substantial whack at entitlement programs. The Senate version does not include that. The word seems to be that the House will back down on that. And how do you persuade the conservatives in the House to back down on that? Well, primarily by promising them a big tax cut bill. And that's what the Republicans are all about this week.
I know we don't actually have a tax cut bill in place. There have been some provisional ideas out there. But from what we see in this resolution from the Senate on the budget, what are we talking about in terms of the deficit? How would this affect our annual shortfalls?
We don't know because we don't know the details of the tax bill. The budget resolution creates a lot of space for the tax bill. It allows the tax bill to reduce revenues and therefore increase the deficit by $1.5 trillion over 10 years. So that's a very, very large number. The Republicans argue, though, that once they get down to the details of their tax bill, the deficit effect will not be nearly that large. So we really don't know. The Republicans are counting on an argument that their tax bill will so stimulate the economy that the economy will grow so fast and that will increase revenues because people will be earning more money. And actually, that will help soften the blow, reduce the effect of the tax cuts on the deficit, because actually more revenues will be coming in to offset the tax cuts. Democrats will say that's very naive thinking, but much of the debate is going to be over those kinds of macroeconomic matters, perhaps unfortunately, but that's the way the world is.
We've heard the argument before that tax cuts will lead to increased growth, that growth will lead to more taxes, which will balance out the loss of revenue. It's been tested some. I know there's lots of variables. Do we have an idea of the track record of whether it plays out that way?
Well, honestly, most economists would argue that it simply is true that a tax cut, depending upon the type, can stimulate the economy, increase incomes for some people, which means they have higher taxable incomes and increase the revenue from those people. But it doesn't really pay for itself. In fact, it doesn't really come close to paying for itself. And so we can expect deficits to rise if the Republican plans proceed as now they look from at least today. My guess is that we're going to see hundreds of billions of dollars of additional deficit over a 10-year period if the Republicans proceed with the tax cuts that they're talking about today.
We're talking to Steve Smith from Washington University, looking at a Senate budget blueprint passed yesterday and the prospects for a big tax overhaul that Republicans are hoping to do fairly soon. Another big question, Steve, about tax cuts is who gets the tax cuts? There's been talk about targeting the middle class, accusations that they'll be for corporations and people at the top of the income scale. Again, there's not an official bill in place, but what do we know about what Republicans have been talking about for their tax cut plans?
Well, there was a preliminary plan presented that was the product of negotiations between the White House and top party and tax leaders among Republicans on Capitol Hill. And it includes a sizable corporation income tax cuts. You know, if you're a very large corporation now and you have an income over $18 million, you're going to pay a 35% rate. The Republicans are talking about cutting that down to 20% or lower. So that's a huge reduction in the corporate tax cut. Initially, the Republican view was that this could be paid for by reducing loopholes. So corporations that have special tax breaks would lose those special tax breaks in exchange for getting a lower rate. Now there's so much opposition to some of the there's so much support for retaining some of those tax breaks that it doesn't look like they'll come anywhere close to paying for the rate cut with the elimination of tax breaks. It's eliminating tax breaks that usually is what we call tax reform. And reform seems to be slipping as a priority here in favor of cuts.
And that corporate tax rate, as you point out, 35%, a lot of people argue that big corporations tend not to effectively pay 35%, in part because of those loopholes, if people don't like them, or incentives or whatever, lower the effective tax rate for corporations. Is that by and large true?
That's absolutely right. And what you're missing there is that a lot of corporate income is parked abroad and not taxed in the U.S. at all. This is a very complicated thing, and there was some hope. In fact, I think bipartisan agreement that much of the tax code needs to be restructured in a more fundamental way. But it looks like opposition to one kind of restructuring or another among Republicans is probably going to lead to setting aside some interest in dealing with the breaks and dealing with foreign income, and instead focusing on simply reducing the rates.
And there has been talk about simplifying the tax paying and tax filing process for individuals and families filing their taxes. The idea of going back to, you know, you could fill out a postcard-sized tax form instead of going to the full easy form or more complicated things. And it seems like a lot of people on both sides of the aisle like the idea of simplifying. Is that part of what we're seeing from the Republican plan so far?
Well, they're not talking about that, at least not this week. They certainly have in the past. But to do that for your average middle-class taxpayer who's maybe has a mortgage, lives in a state with a personal income tax and has other complications, it's hard to do that to deal with those issues in a postcard size form. There is some Republican interest in eliminating the deduction for state and local taxes that you now enjoy. And so states with relatively important or high personal income taxes would lose that, and that would increase their federal taxes accordingly. But there's a lot of opposition to that. There are many, many Republicans in Congress who represent suburban districts and in high-tax states like New York, California, Minnesota, that will object to touching that particular tax break. Well, if you start protecting tax breaks, well, then the form has to be somewhat longer, and it will not fit on a postcard. So there may be more people who can file a very short form, and perhaps this can be done on a postcard in the future, but I think we're some distance from knowing whether they're going to change the code so radically that that'll be an important development for many people.
We're talking with Steve Smith right now, looking at the budget blueprint that the U.S. Senate passed last night and how it leads along the path toward a GOP tax overhaul plan. He's professor of political science at Washington University.
And we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Do you support Republican tax cut efforts? You know, what about the changes potentially coming to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid? Do you hope this measure speeds up the process for passage in Congress? Let us know what you think by calling 1-800-642-1234. Again, that's 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We're continuing our conversation about the Senate's passage of a budget blueprint yesterday that is seen as key to the president's tax overhaul goals. Stephen Smith stays with us. He's a professor of political science at Washington University.
What do you think? You can join us at 800-642-1234. Do you support an overhaul of the U.S. tax code? Does this sound like how you'd like to do it from what you've seen from the Republican plan so far? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. CJ is with us in Madison. CJ, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Ultimately, you know, your question is, do we agree? If their plan approved in the long haul is going to reverse this trend of a huge deficit that this country sees, and that reversal is going to benefit the economy and make the economy stronger, because there's a lot of talk out there that a huge deficit, like in the trillions and trillions and trillions, could be very, very poor for our economy in the long haul. So you got to start righting that ship at some point. Now, with that said, if what they're trying to do isn't going to do that, then, I mean, it's just another Washington idea that's just a bunch of crap.
CJ, thanks for calling in. CJ, hopeful that whatever plan comes out would reduce the deficit, and he brought up the argument that a big deficit and a big national debt, ultimately, Steve, is bad for the economy. Do we know if that's true?
In the long run, it certainly is. Just like a homeowner, you borrow money to improve your house, you might actually increase its long-term value. And when we make investments as a society in education and our roads and other things, we hope that that will have long-term payoffs, and they often do. The question here is whether or not the deficits that will be created, and they definitely will be created unless the Republicans surprise us, these long-term deficits created by tax cuts, these tax cuts will generate enough economic activity to pay for themselves. And honestly, there may be a handful of economists out there who would make that argument, but it's very few. The trouble for the Republicans is that to pay for these tax cuts, especially the size of the tax cuts they're talking about, they would have to make very deep cuts in domestic programs. And in fact, the Senate budget waves its hand at the possibility of $500 billion of cuts in Medicaid, $1 trillion of cuts in Medicare over the next 10 years. I say waves its hand at it because the Senate bill doesn't require those spending savings be passed along with the tax cuts. So they've allowed the tax cuts to go ahead on their own without any compensating changes in in spending. So it will increase the deficit. It's a big question about how much that deficit increase will be, and there'll be a lot of argument about it.
And you mentioned earlier House Republicans, their plan had involved a bigger commitment to cutting those entitlement, in quotes, programs, Medicare, Medicaid, things like
that. Well, that's right. There was at least a sizable effort to pay for the tax cuts by reducing spending. Social welfare-related programs, for example, were to be cut by $203 billion. The House had some fakery, if I can use the term, in that it assumed that Obamacare would be fully repealed and that all the spending on Obamacare would be saved. And, of course, that hasn't happened. So we're dealing with a House version that lacks realism. and the Senate seems to be the way the Republicans now intend to go. That is, put tax cuts in place without compensation on the spending side.
CJ, thanks for that call. We're talking about the budget, the federal budget, and a tax overhaul effort from Republicans. Steve Smith is with us from Washington University. Back to your calls now. Kelly is with us in Cascade. Kelly, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I'm definitely a part of the middle class, and I have children. I drive on Wisconsin roads every day. I service the people of inner city Milwaukee through my job in healthcare, and I'm terrified about the proposed tax plan and what that means for the future of this state, the future of this country, the future of my children. I've lived abroad and I've seen in Europe how taxes can really go to supporting a lot of the services that we all benefit from, and I just can't for the life of me fathom why we continue to promote decreasing taxes as an improvement for our country. It just feels like a plan and a scheme for a certain portion of our population, a very small portion of our population that has very little touch with what's going on in the rest of this country.
Kelly, thanks for the call. Steve, Kelly worried that tax cuts will lead to cuts in services that help people at the bottom end of the income scale.
Well, I think that's a very legitimate concern. You know, there are Republicans, so I don't think it's all Republicans, who would argue that cutting taxes and greatly increasing the deficit is a perfect way to starve the beast being big government. And so even if there is some economic pain by increasing the size of the deficit, maybe seeing a spike in interest rates, it will be worth it if over the long run, maybe years and years, the federal government's size is simply must be reduced in order to avoid the harm of increasing the federal debt so much. And that may be where the Republicans end up with their arguments over the next few weeks. We heard that in the early Reagan years. Not all Republicans buy into that. It's kind of a supply-side type argument. And there are certainly Republicans in Congress now who are very concerned about the deficit implications. Senator Corker from Tennessee, for example, has indicated that he will not support a tax cut that increases the deficit. We'll see if he holds to that. So there is some sensitivity to this. But we're talking about basic philosophy about the role of government, and there are many Republicans who say starving the beast is a reasonable approach to getting to smaller government.
Thanks for calling in. We'll go next to Catherine in Milwaukee. Catherine, hi.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
What do you think, Catherine?
Yes, and I've been listening on the radio to your speaker, and I don't really understand how hurting so many of the lower class, the middle class. I'm 71. I worked all my life. I have two children, one who's 46 and one who's 25. My 46-year-old was very thankful for President Obama because she had been able to have insurance through his administration where she never had it before. And I'm on Social Security and Medicare, And I don't see how we're going to be protected by that Republican.
Catherine, I want to jump in because we're a little short on time. Steve, is there, are Republicans going to feel pressure from people like Catherine and her daughter, people who rely on Social Security, Medicare, and Obamacare, for that matter?
Yes. You know, the amazing thing is that the Republican plan coming out of the Senate really doesn't make any significant changes in federal spending programs this year or next year, for that matter. They sort of hope to get through the 2018 elections without being responsible for significant changes in federal programs. But they want to get the tax cuts in place that will lead to spending cuts in the future, but not in the very short term.
We'll leave it there for now. Catherine, thanks for your call. And Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be with you.
That's Stephen Smith. He's a professor of political science at Washington University. He joined us to talk about yesterday's Senate passage of a budget blueprint and the prospects for a big change in the U.S. tax system. You can still share your thoughts on all this, by the way. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.